Welcome to the Lance Well Now Show, an unusual Bible study. I've been talking for the last couple of weeks. If you haven't been with me, I can't make up for the sessions you aren't in on. But I can tell you this. I'm working on this series I did a little while ago called The Watchman's Deck. I want you to be thinking about how to expand your influence over you. Watchman, it's lancewalnut.com/watchman, 800-910-6349. And guess what? Your gift of any amount. That means if you just want to pay postage, just grab it. Some of my best teaching, and I talk there about mastery, comes down to the distinctions that you make. If you ever listen to like a great teacher, what you're listening to isn't something you know. You're listening to someone like a Victor Hansen, or for the old days, Derek Prince, or maybe it's, you know, like I've been reading some of Andrew Womack lately. It's the quality of distinction that a person makes is what makes them a master at what they do. They focus in on a particular aspect of something other people miss. And that's where the mastery comes from. Now, in your calling, you have a gift from God to do something. And the reason I've got spirit, soul, and body behind me is because what I'm finding is, for me, sometimes the basics is what I got to go back to. I don't feel, you know, as you go on in life, you might feel more inadequate. You get older and you say, oh, I have regrets. I should have done this differently. I should have done that. I didn't. And you look at your past depending on how you evaluate, and your own dialogue can work against you. I want to talk to you right now. Many of you have a particular, and it's the way you're wired. It's not a sin. It's just the way you're wired. It's called CP, critical parent. Some of you have a voice that is in the multiphasic, you know, psychological index of various features that people have. I study psychology because I really believe that next to the study of theology, the study of human behavior is one of the best things you could ever learn because you're in the business of people, right? And so one of those terms I've learned about is critical parent, or CP. The higher the CP scale you have, the more critical you are of yourself and others. People just can never measure up. And when you should be affirming and encouraging, you tend to always be pointing out how they could do something better, or this could be better. I mean, I have friends of mine that are really good, and they struggle with depression, ironically. But they could be in a service in their church, beautiful church. They'll notice the one tile that's loose on the ceiling. They'll be commenting to someone about, go back and fix that. It's the jeweler's eye syndrome, where you see the jewel, but you're looking for the flaw in the diamond. If you're not careful, it'll kill your ability to be joyful. It'll kill your ability to be happy. I'm talking about the soul of man. It has its own ways in which it can sabotage the spirit of man. But let's talk about this body, soul, spirit revelation for a second. Because what I've learned is that one third of you right here is sealed. Sealed, the Bible says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And what that means is the Holy Spirit has put a seal around your spirit so that here is the Holy of Holies. It's kind of like in the temple in the Bible. This is the Holy of Holies, which means that only God dwells in your recreated spirit. You are made new. You, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What part of you is new? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This part of you is 100% holy. This part of you is 100% righteous. This is why you can approach the throne of God in a time of need. What's a time of need? It's a time when you're going squirrely over here, or maybe your body is going and it's moving in the wrong direction, and you're crying out to God. You want to bring your life. You come to God in the time of need that you may obtain grace to help. Come to the throne of grace. What is grace? It's the acceptance that God gives you, because the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus has already completely purchased your redemption. Your soul, one third of you, is already perfect. And the promise is that the down payment is made by the Spirit of God. It's what the Bible says. The down payment is made on your resurrection, where you'll have a transformed body, and your soul will be free from the impediment of its fallen condition, and you'll be completely redeemed. Right now, you're already one third on your way into heaven. Think about that. You're already one third there. And the reason I'm doing this thing and making this picture so picturesque is because what I'm realizing is that when you're in the process of transition and you're here, but God wants to take you to that next level of vision, as you're crossing over, you will find yourself dealing with the thoughts, the resistance, the battle of the enemy. Charles Finney, the great evangelist, said that the revivalists will have blasphemous thoughts. And here was a holy man of God dealing with revival and intercession and being an instrument of evangelism. He said, hey, you'll have thoughts of suicide. Whose thoughts of suicide? That's not you talking to you. Now catch this. When you're going to the next level, there's going to be an enemy, put Satan there. He is going to try to keep you from getting across to where that is, because you're called to go invade the strong man's house. And every level of blessing, and it's right there in the Bible, that if you're going to go to the place of your inheritance, the next level God has for you is going to require you to exercise your faith to get to that place. And that means you're going to have contradictions. You're not going to feel. This is in the feel realm. You're not going to feel like things are working out. You're not going to think things are working out. You're going to have to bring your body and your soul under the power of your spirit. And to do that, you've got to be strong in the word. My words are spirit and they are life. You've got to fill your spirit with the word of God so that you can talk to your soul and talk to your body, so that you can talk, dare I say, to the circumstance and to the devil. But you don't have to be. I remember doing a series on the signet ring, and the Lord gave me that kind of revelation that there was a signet ring that was given to one of the Zerubbabel in the book of Haggai. And a signet ring is the authority to imprint the will of God upon the circumstance of earth. A signet ring goes into clay or into wax and creates an imprint of the house of the royal authority of the house behind the ring. It's kind of like a credit card. And the signet ring means that God gives you the authority. Once you have the mind of Christ for what he wants to do, your spirit, your words, your prayers, and your deeds can imprint the soft substance of circumstance and make it submit to you. And if the devil is against you, your authority to rebuke the storm will quench the storm. It'll stop the enemy's activity. Why? Because if you will let your soul and your body be sanctified, the God of peace will bring your thoughts and bring your body in alignment with who you really are in the spirit. Well, then your spirit man will start to dictate your circumstance. I went out to a foreign country a couple of years ago, and I never forget this. I was so frustrated because somehow I didn't have any books with me. Now, everywhere I go, I bring a library. I don't know what happened, but I went to a Christian bookstore in this island, and there was no books, only a Joel Osteen book. And I was frustrated, so I thought, Joel Osteen? I was thinking, you know, I wanted some, I hate to say it, it's judgmental. I wanted something, you know, different. Let me tell you something. God used Joel Osteen to speak to me. I was wrong about Joel. For instance, the Lord said to me, he said, you know what? You have to send your words in the direction you want your life to go. It was like the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, your words are devouring your future. Send your words where you want them to go. The Lord reminded me. I remember being at the Hilton here in Southlake, Texas, and I was doing one of my training courses, and next door was a bar mitzvah or a wedding. All I know is they were doing the hokey pokey, something stupid. And you do the hokey pokey, and I'm laughing because I'm having this intense meeting, And then the sound barrier between me and the hokey pokey next door. And I was so upset because the sacred power of what I was doing in my little group right there was contrasted with the hokey pokey. And I said, Lord, this isn't... I went home and I walked around the block and I kvetched because I said, I can't do this stuff in hotels anymore. I need to have another space where I could do this. I don't want to do them in churches necessarily, but I guess I could rent a church to do it. It's okay. But I'm trying to reach out into a business community. I was trying to do something different. And I remember walking around the block and the Lord said, basically, that was a wasted walk because all I did was walk around the block rehearsing what I didn't want and why it was it needed to change. The Lord said, let's do another lap. And this time, don't rehearse the problem. Tell me what you want. You have to send your words out in the direction you want your life to go. Woo! Here's the principle. Don't talk about the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Well, now I'm telling you, I'm reading some Joel Osteen stuff, and I'm getting convicted because I'm realizing this is what I need, Lord. I actually have to send my words in the direction of where I want to go. I have to begin to say, I don't want to talk about the way things are. I want to talk about the way I want them to be. I want to send my words in the direction I want my life to take me. So I said, Lord, I want to go to exotic great locations, really, and have it at a low enough cost so that my friends don't have to be busted to go do it. I want us to be able to go have a good time. I want 100 of them at one time at this great, wonderful location where we have done it the hokey pokey next door and where it's just us. And we could be able to have a dream about the future that you're creating, and I want to be able to help them to manifest what you've called them to do. And you've made me a teacher and a rabbi. I know that. It's in my DNA. I want to be able to revelate and help impart and prophesy and build people up into that place. Well, I did a couple of blocks like that. And within a matter, like 2 weeks or so, we started doing these dream trips. I did like 30 of them. And at first it wasn't perfect, but then it got better. Then it got where I wanted to go. And I was learning something anyway, and what I was learning was that you can't describe the problem and expect the solution to show up. You can't describe the problem and expect the solution to show up. You have to send your words in the direction of what you want to manifest. Don't talk about what you don't want. Talk about what you do want. I want you to get a hold of this right now, the Watchman's deck. You're on the watch. You're on the Watchman. What's happening in the world right now, Watchman? Go to lancewallnow.com/Watchman. Your gift of any amount, 1-800-910-6349. And because the way that I see this is, if you will write out clearly in detail what it is that God has shown you, that God has called you to do, if you will see it as a picture in its form, if you can say it with 100% full persuasion, then you are creating the frequency, the vibration, or the magnetic pull so that you're pulling it into manifestation. I'm going to take a break right now for a moment. I want you to see something, and then we're going to come right back. Start watching the thoughts that come into you. Start watching the feelings that come across you. The activity that is going on around you. As a watchman, I want you to know something. You've never been closer to pleasing God than when you don't feel it, but you walk according to the Word of God and the will of God. Your gift of any amount. You loving this teaching? Take action and get it. LanceWallnow.com/Watchman, 800-910-6349. Get a vision for a big life. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. While we took that little commercial break, and I was talking earlier about the signet ring, God was reminding me. It's from Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, regarding a verse for you. This is why the Lord brought it to my remembrance today. On that day, I'm going to take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord. I'm going to make you like a signet ring, for I've chosen you. Nobody knows who Zerubbabel is. He's a secondary actor. He was a guy that was actually removed from the inheritance because of sins of his fathers. But then God puts him right back in and says, I'm putting you back in the lineage of my story for significant work. And then someone brought in the signet ring. They had got it for me. They hadn't given it to me. They had it in the safe. It was a gift. Check it out. It's a signet ring, and on the inside is the verse, Haggai chapter 2, verse 23. And what that signet ring is, a picture of an eagle's wings, of a lion, of a cross, of the pen, of keys, of a crown, and a sword of the Spirit. Basically, it's a symbol. I'm going to put it on my finger here. They just gave it to me during the break. And I just today thought about that signet ring metaphor. And I wanted you to think about this. The signet ring means you have the authority in your spirit to pray and be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that your soul can be transformed to start to think not in alignment with your circumstance, but in alignment with what God tells you. Here's the way the signet ring works. You have the privilege of taking your future over here, the house that God is calling you to move to, the ministry, the work that God is calling you to move to. Your spirit sees that future, and you've got to bring your soul and your body into agreement with what your spirit says. If you can bring yourself into agreement, then you're operating in faith without resistance. The thing I said in the first broadcast was kind of interesting. Andrew Womack was saying that, you know, you only need great faith as a grain of mustard seed to do anything. Jesus taught the disciples, your problem isn't having sufficient power. There's enough atomic power in the concentrated mustard seed of the substance of faith to boom, blow up the universe. Your problem is it's neutralized by your unbelief. In other words, focus less on, in a sense, trying to get faith and focus on transforming your thinking so that it's in agreement with the faith you've already got. Womack's revelation, which is kind of profound, is why are you chasing what you already have? See, you've already got the faith of Christ in you for what you've got to do. You've already got the love of Christ in you shed abroad in your heart. You've already got the peace of God in you. You don't have to pray for God's presence. You don't have to pray for God to be with you. He said, I'll never leave you. How can he leave you? He's on the inside of you. Hermetically sealed, the Holy Spirit's sealed on the inside of you and wants to be able to fill you so that your thinking is affected by your spirit. How does that happen? Well, the Watchman's Deck, I talk about how this works out in terms of, it's called Nations in the Balance. You say, well, what does this teaching have to do with nations? Well, the mastery is in the distinctions, and the distinctions are you're carrying the future in you. And right now, the future, for many, if you don't mind me saying so, is when I teach about those seven mountains of faith. I want you to see what's happening right now as you and I speak. I was listening to Victor David Hansen, who is the esteemed scholar on the Second World War. You'll see him sometimes on Laura Ingraham. Great guy is. If you ever start to watch him on the sort of Pericles or something like that, he's got some unique website. But he's a Hoover scholar, Stanford scholar for the Hoover Institute, and a brilliant commentator. Anyway, I'm listening to him talk. He said that what Donald Trump is doing, and I'm going to lose some of you now. Donald Trump, listen, I know what I'm talking about. What Donald Trump is doing is what God has called him to do a reset for the sake of the nations. And what most people don't realize is that he used to be that the left had the power of the legacy news. They bombard you. Then they had the late night comedy. And they had the campuses, the factories of discontent. And then they had the pipeline, USAID, and all kinds of money to their NGOs. And they had the political power to be able to impose their agenda. And then the institutional capture from the Smithsonian to the Kennedy Center, to the Lincoln Center, to Hollywood and the Academy Awards. But understand this left ideology represents only about 15% of the most extreme worldview of the United States. But when it gets into the social tech companies in terms of censorship of speech and they get in alignment with the power of government and money and funding in order to censor. And COVID came along, and suddenly there's this dangerous period where you could be locked down, censored, silenced, or and certainly shut in and masked up. It was weird. Don't ever forget where we were. And then suddenly a wind blew that stuff away. What Donald Trump is doing is he's going after, go back over here to it's the Arts Mountain, then the Media Mountain, do the old ways to do it, and business. He's recapturing the top of these places, the institutional hierarchies. This is what Victor Hansen says. He is actually going after the institutions, so he's crippling the effect of the left and its ability to, even in over here, the Church Mountain, I'm going to put that there, and the family over here. What's happening is in all these areas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, what am I missing? Oh, of course, education. How could I miss that one? Education, the capture of the elite institutions. So with his going after Harvard and anti-Semitism, and he's going after the media companies, and so he'll sue them for libel, or Melania Trump going after Carvel and saying, you can't insult me by linking me to Epstein as one of his girls or something like that. You owe me an apology, or you owe me a lawsuit. And so he retracted and said, I'm sorry, I took all that off my podcast. You're watching a very unusual period of history happening now, and who knows how long it is. But the Smithsonian, with all of its twisted history of America as purely, the slave nation, the narrative that was being pushed by the left was institutionally at the top of all of these domains. And what you're looking at now is you're looking at the fact that they're being re-seized. Now, here's my question for you. Why am I talking about that now? Because Caleb said, give me my mountain. And I want to know, what mountain has God called you to go into? Because you might be called to do media or to do business or to do or to have a business. You might be called as someone who's got a message to give in education. And the system, the way that it's set up, is not very hospitable, I will admit, to inviting you in. But if God has put inside of you a vision to do something, then what you have to do is you have to be able to, let me move that over there for a second. You have to be able to say, Lord, what is it that you've called me to do? And then like Caleb, you have to take a look at the mountain that God has called you to ascend, and you have to be able to believe that God will give you access to that mountain. And so the Zechariah, who was a contemporary of Haggai, he is himself prophesying to Zerubbabel, and who is the marketplace guy, and he's prophesying to Joshua, who is a church guy with the temple, and he's prophesying to them and saying that you both are qualified to do what God has called you to do, and I'm going to give you the ability to accomplish unusual things. So let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Okay, chapter 4, New King James, to Zerubbabel. He says, Zerubbabel, you see this mountain before you. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Remember the signet ring. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and shall become, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. What he's saying is, there's a mountain of opposition that's going to flatten out. But then he's coming. Zerubbabel is called to bring the capstone. What's the capstone? That's the top. Christ wants to be able to bring the crown, or the government shall be upon his shoulders. God wants the kingdom of heaven to be able to come down into the earth. Pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The capstone refers to the very top. God has called you, dare I remind you, to be the head, not the tail. To be above, not beneath. And how's it going to happen? With shouts of grace. Grace. In other words, the finished work of God, agreeing with what God's will is for your life, is the greatest battle you'll ever have. Being able to trust that God will do what he said he's going to do. And it's not by your strength, not by your might, but by his spirit. If God has put your face in the future, yes, you're going to have to grow. Yes, you're going to have to change. Yes, you're going to have to become something you've never been. But you have to understand, what you're doing is you're allowing the Spirit of God to cause you to grow up into the person that can be able to bring the capstone, or to bring your role in facilitating Christ coming into that area or that business or that industry or that neighborhood. God has such, you know, the Bible says he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes when we get to heaven. And I'm convinced the tears from our eyes are not going to be tears over our sins. It's going to be tears over the blueprint of what was, of what might have been. When God shows you the plans that he has for you, his designs for you, and he makes sense. He fills in the corners of your life story to explain to you what he was doing. And there's so much more that God wants to do in your life than you've apprehended or seen. So let me go back to this picture over here. When I talk about these realms, and I say that God wants to bring, if some of you are called to local government, I want you to think about local. It's your local business. It's your local finishing your education or influencing the school that you're in, or teaching or transforming that. It's the call, the local play, the local theater, the local arts. It's working in social media within your own agency. It's your influence over your own family members, and it's your role within your own house of faith. God has called you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to have a role in bringing Christ into a greater demonstration and glory into that, into the capstone of the temple that he's building. Now, the thing that is, I think, is coming up for me now is the role that the Lord has. So the realm that I'm talking about is the faith of God in your heart that could take you through the contradiction of what you're not feeling and not seeing right now. And what I want to encourage you with is the fact that you're closer to your breakthrough than you've ever been. That it's you're more pleasing to God when you don't feel it, when you don't have the chorus of confirmation, but God said to you, and you're holding your own, going the direction where the Father called you to go. And like my brother Joel Osteen says, you know, you begin to speak that the best days you've got are in front of you. Your greatest victories are in the future. He said something that was so interesting. He said, he used to prophesy that people see me on TV and they can't turn the channel. And then he said he started getting hundreds of letters from people saying, I don't know what happened. I saw you on TV and I couldn't turn the channel. And it got me thinking, God has a place for you that the enemy wants to tell you doesn't belong to you. And I'm prophesying to you on television or wherever you're watching me on the internet, God has victory for you in the place that he's calling you to. And don't let the circumstances rob you of your faith, because your faith is what's pleasing God right now. Go to lancewillow.com/watchman, 1-800-910-6349, and watch over your own soul, your circumstance, your career, your call, your mountain, because you're closer than you think to your breakthrough, providing you don't faint on the journey. All right, I'll see you again in the next episode. God bless.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.